This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to another episode of the Seerah series titled Walking with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu or upon the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, thank you for joining. Mashallah, quwwatillahillah. Sister Yasmin, always number one, always the first to join. Mashallah. And those of you on Facebook out there, I hope you guys are doing great. What did we talk about yesterday, brothers and sisters? Where did we? What did we cover yesterday? Does anybody remember? Light spread. Yasmin, what did we? Who's amongst us, or, you know, those are on Facebook? Who is out there? There's a bunch of people out there, mashallah. So you guys remember what we talked about yesterday? We were talking about the trip to where? The trip to At-Ta'if. Are you guys with me? We're talking about the trip to At-Ta'if. So, the trip to At-Ta'if, death of Khadija radiallahu anha, the year of the sadness, and the trip to At-Ta'if. Exactly. So after the Prophet Muhammad, you know, and the Sahaba came out from the from that boycott, if you remember, you know, from the Sha'b bin Talib, and then right after that, you know, Abu Talib passed away, Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha, she passed away. That was the year of the sadness, and these were the two people that used to help the Prophet the most, that assisted the Prophet Muhammad the most, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? So, and then Prophet Muhammad, again, his job does not end, right? These people that used to support him, his job does not end. So, what did he do, alayhi wasallam? He traveled to At-Ta'if to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the da'wah had to keep, you know, had to stay on. The da'wah had, you know, he has to keep doing his job, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is to convey the message to the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did they listen? No, they did not. We taught you, you know, we talked about the fact that the people of At-Ta'if, the kind of response they had to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much so that they, told the kids and, you know, to go and throw stones and rocks at Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, and so much so that he started bleeding. You know, he was hurt, alayhi wasallam. Who was with him, brothers and sisters? Who was with Prophet Muhammad when he went to At-Ta'if? Those of you on Facebook out there, those of you on Instagram, right? Who was with Prophet Muhammad when he went to At-Ta'if? He did not go alone, remember? I mentioned that yesterday. Zayd, yes. Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha is the adopted son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was there, you know, with Prophet alayhi wasallam. And when Prophet alayhi wasallam went to this garden, Addas brought him some grapes, and he was from the town of Nainawa, which is in Iraq, the town of Yunus alayhi salam. Addas embraced Islam after he heard from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. So Prophet Muhammad went back. So Prophet Muhammad, his intention was to, okay, well, Quraysh does not want to listen. They don't want to embrace Islam. They don't want to let us do our job by conveying the message of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are on top of that abusing and persecuting the Sahaba. So he thought of, you know, he was flexible. He thought of some, you know, other options. What should we do? You know, let's think of, maybe let's go somewhere else and deliver this message. So he traveled to At-Ta'if. The people of Ta'if, they did not want to show support to the Prophet. Prophet, as he was coming back, hurt and tired and disappointed and sad and heartbroken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to comfort him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Right at this place called Qarn al-Tha'alib. Qarn al-Tha'alib is a place, you know, not far from Mecca, where people make, coming from Ta'if, they would make ihram from. Jibril came to him with the angels of the mountains, and he said, Jibril, he says, the angel of the mountains is with me. And he saw what your people, the people of Taif, has done to you, and he said, if you want if you want, Ya Rasulullah, the angel of the mountains will crush a Taif between these two mountains. Because a Taif, that city, you know, the town of a Taif, happened to be between, you know, in a valley between two mountains. So he said, if you want, the angel of the mountains, he will crush them between the two mountains. But Prophet Muhammad, this river of rahmah, river of mercy, لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. He is Ra'uf, he is gentle, and he is Rahim, he is merciful. عليه الصلاة والسلام. These people that threw rocks at you, let the angel take care of them. He will crush them, he will finish them off. He says, no. I'm hoping that off of their progeny, people who will come to embrace the deen of Islam, they will become wahideen, inshallah ta'ala, they will say la ilaha illallah. So, and then the Prophet resumed his trip back to Mecca. In the outskirts of Mecca, something interesting happened. And this is where we left off yesterday, if you remember. This is where we left off when he was coming back to Mecca, after that trip to At-Ta'if, after he's been, you know, beaten up by the, you know, by the kids, you know, throwing stones at him, he's coming back bleeding, tired, disappointed, sad, heartbroken. The Prophet wanted At-Ta'if. Allah wants Medina. As I said yesterday, At-Ta'if could have been Medina. At-Ta'if, because now when we go for Mecca, you know, for Hajj, or when we go for Umrah, you know, a lot of people, they like to go and visit Medina, of course, the Medina to Nabi, the town, the Medina to Nabi, right? So the Prophet wanted At-Ta'if, but Allah wants something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Medina. And then the Prophet wanted the people of At-Ta'if to embrace Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal wants something else, some other creatures to embrace Islam. Who embrace Islam? The jinn. The jinn, yes. So Prophet Muhammad was walking back and he was reciting the Quran. He was reciting the Quran. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فلما حضروه قالوا أنصتوا قالوا أنصتوا فلما قضي ولوا إلى قومهم منذرين. Oh, yes, salam. They were jinn, like ants. They were, you know, walking by or flying by or whatnot. And then they heard somebody reciting the Quran. Who did they hear reciting the Quran? Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. They heard Prophet Muhammad reciting the Quran, as Allah says in Surah Al-Ahqaf, chapter Al-Ahqaf. So they heard Prophet Muhammad reciting the Quran. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُهُ قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا. When they came close to Prophet Muhammad, they said to one another, the jinn, they said to one another, listen, Allahu Akbar. Yes, they listened to the Quran and they loved the Quran. The believing jinn, because there's believing jinn and there's non-believing jinn, of course. Just like human beings, you know, there's believing man and there's non-believing man. Believing women and there's non-believing women. Just like in jinn, there's believing jinn and non-believing jinn. And there is believing jinnah and non-believing jinnah, which is the female or jinn. You know, I've just made it up. I just made that up, you know, female jinn and male jinn, you know, they're all jinn, right? So there are some that are believers and some that are not believers. So they heard the Quran and they told one another, "Ansitu," here, listen. فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا. When Prophet Muhammad finished reciting the Quran, they said to one another, what did they say to one another? They said, وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ. Right away, the jinn went back giving da'wah to each other. Allahu Akbar. Right, exactly. Right away, it's a subhanAllah. They heard the Quran and they went back giving da'wah to their people, to the jinn. Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. Oh, our people, they calling each other, the jinn. They calling ajibu da'i Allah. Answer the call of Allah. Answer the call. Answer the Prophet. He's calling towards Islam. He's calling towards Tawheed. And a lot of jinn embraced Islam. This is a way to comfort Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a way to sort of not only comfort him, to comfort him and also to mend his heart. To mend his heart. Brothers and sisters, listen. There is this beautiful name of Allah that we should all learn and study, learn about and use in our dua. When your heart is broken, when your hand, may Allah forbid, your arm, your foot, you know, some part of your body gets broken, you go to a doctor or whatnot, you put a cast, you mend, to mend the, you know, that you know, that fixture or whatever that was broken, right, from your feet or leg or arm or whatnot. So, but when your heart is broken, how can you put a cast in it? How can you mend that heart? This is something spiritual, something physical. Okay, well, I can go to a doctor. But this is something spiritual. Like somebody break your heart. Someone breaks your heart. What do? You go to Allah and you use His name, Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar, He is the one who mends the heart of those whose heart have been broken. Huh? Al-Jabbar comes from Jabira, which is the cast, to mend. Mend what? Mend that which is broken. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to mend the heart of the Prophet. He wanted to comfort him. So, okay, the people don't want to embrace Islam. We have jinn embracing Islam. Alright, Rasulullah, we have jinn embracing Islam. The jinn is not embracing Islam. Jinn started embracing Islam. The people of Taif, they don't want. We got the jinn embracing Islam. He wanted a Taif. Allah wanted Medina. He wanted the people. Allah wanted jinn. At the end, brothers and sisters, what happens is whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla wishes for it to happen. What happens is what Allah wills for it to happen. This is it. You know, I want something. And Allah wants. Ya abdi, anta tureed, wa ana ureed, wa ma yakunu illa ma ureed. In this beautiful hadith Qudusi, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, oh my servant, you want and I want. And at the end, what will happen? What will happen is what I want, yani what Allah wants. Oh my servant, you want. And Allah wants. But what will happen at the end? Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ أَطَعْتَنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ أَعْطَيْتُكَ مَا تُرِيدُ وَإِنْ عَصَيْتَنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ لَمْ أَعْطَيْكَ مَا تُرِيدُ. If you obey me in what I want, I shall give you what you want. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful. Beautiful. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, if you obey me in what I want, I shall give you what you want. But if you disobey me in what I want, I shall not give you what you want. I will make it hard on you. And at the end, what will happen is whatever Allah wants. So, sisters and brothers, put this in your mind. Sometimes we struggle towards something, but maybe there is no khair in that particular thing which we want. And sometimes we get heartbroken because we're human beings. Because we're human beings. Right? We're from, you know, flesh and blood and skin. We're human beings. We're not robots. We have feelings. Don't we? Don't we? Those of you on Facebook and those on Instagram, we've got, you know, we've got feelings, don't we? So we get heartbroken. So what happens when we get heartbroken? Allah Azza wa Jalla already wants something, right? And you want something. The Prophet Muhammad, he wanted what? Prophet Muhammad, he wanted a Taif, but Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted Medina. Prophet Muhammad, he wanted the people of a Taif. Allah wanted the jinn to embrace Islam. So rest assured, brothers and sisters, that at the end, what will happen is only what Allah wants to happen. Put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Very simple. Put your trust. Delegate your affairs. Say, yes, I know. Right? I know, I understand. We're, like I said, we're human beings. We got feelings. Especially when we invest so much, you know, like emotions towards a particular thing. And then that thing does not work out, or we get deceived by our loved ones. So we're human beings. We get sad. We get disappointed. We get heartbroken. Use the name of Allah Al-Jabbar. If you're heartbroken, use the name of Allah Al-Jabbar, the one who mends the heart of those whose heart have been broken. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted one more time. Brothers and sisters, I'm not done. There's something else that Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing. Look, Allah is comforting His Prophet, right? He's sad, he's disappointed, heartbroken when he went to At-Ta'if. So now Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing something else. Allah wants to comfort him some more. You know what he's going to do, sisters and brothers? Huh? Those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook. Do you know what Allah will do right now to His Prophet? We said the jinn embrace Islam. You know, this is a way to comfort him, to, you know, mend his heart. All right, this jinn, they heard the Quran and they embrace Islam. And they want. They went on doing the da'wah, calling each other. Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. Oh my people, oh our people, they called one another, the jinn. Ajibu, answer the caller of Allah Azza wa Jalla, answer Prophet Muhammad. Right? So now, brothers and sisters, after Prophet Muhammad comes back to Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do something else, something amazing, something wonderful. Prophet Muhammad is sleeping. He's sleeping, some said, by the Kaaba at night. Some said in the house of Hani. Hani, who's bint Abu Talib, the daughter of Abu Talib. So the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So there are different narrations. Hani, her name is Fakhita. Her name is Fakhita, right? So some said that Prophet Muhammad was sleeping in her house. Some said that Prophet Muhammad was sleeping by the Kaaba at night. And then came to him Jibreel, woke him up. Prophet Muhammad made tawaf from the Kaaba. And then Jibreel, in one narration, opened up the chest of the Prophet Muhammad for the second time. Prophet's chest was opened twice by Jibreel when he was a kid. And the second time when Jibreel came, when Prophet Muhammad was asleep, he opened up his heart, washed it from water, from Jannah, and then put back the heart together, put back the chest together. Prophet Muhammad went into making tawaf around the Kaaba, right? And then Jibreel called a creature, an animal, called Al-Buraq. Al-Buraq. It is not a horse. It is not a mule. It is not a donkey. It is something in between. Something between a donkey and a mule. Or a horse and a mule. The Prophet says that this particular animal, it puts its foot as far as its eye can see. Listen to this. It puts its foot as far as the eye can see. Yani if the eye can see as far as 1,000 miles or 100 kilometers or whatnot, that's where his foot goes. So he just goes running. He took Prophet Muhammad along with Jibreel into a trip. A trip of a lifetime. A wonderful trip. What is this trip called? It's called the trip of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Huh? This trip is called the trip of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Allah Azza wa Jal will take Prophet Muhammad before he goes to see him. He will have a stop. A stop where? a stop in Palestine, in Al-Quds. Why? Why? Why Al-Quds? Brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram, all right, I cannot see you, I cannot talk to you, but, you know, why Prophet Muhammad had to make that stop in Al-Quds first, before going? That's called, you know, Al-Isra. That's called Al-Isra. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا سبحان praise be to Allah to whom سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا he took his man عبد his servant at night ascending him into this trip where from Al-Haram into Al-Aqsa into Al-Quds Prophet Muhammad went there with Jibreel behind him. Or Jibreel and Prophet Muhammad behind him. And then they stopped in Palestine. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam took the this animal had what do you call that rope that goes around the neck of a dog? Forgot the name of it. The shield? No, astaghfirullah. No, not the shield. What is that rope, brothers and sisters, that you put around the that you put around a dog or a cat? Not the collar. No, not the collar. No. It's like with a chain. Leash. Aywa, leash. Sa'diya lik. Sa'diya alik. Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. The leash, yes. So he put the leash. Thank you very much. So he took that leash and put it around a tree. Yes, Sister Fatima, leash. So he put it around a tree. That buraq is not to go anywhere. That buraq is not going anywhere. That buraq had a mission to take Prophet Muhammad from Mecca to Al-Quds, Palestine, and then from Palestine to go to the heavens, you know, to talk to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then to come back. He's not going nowhere. Why, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad took the leech and put it around that tree before entering the Masjid Al-Aqsa? Fatima, Sadia, Yasmin, all of you out there, Azdeen, Nawal, Layla, why, Ummu Taqwa, why Prophet Muhammad? Whereas we know that this animal is not going anywhere, but just like, you know, why would Prophet Muhammad take the leash and put it around this a tree before going inside the Masjid Al-Aqsa? Why do you think the Prophet had to do that? Why, sisters and brothers? Why? Why? Teaching us al-asbab. Layla, you're there. Teaching us al-akhd bil-asbab. To teach you and I to use the means. Right? And then you put your trust in the Lord of the means. Teaching us tawakkul. Yes, that's the meaning of tawakkul. Use the means to rely on Allah. Use the means, right? So he had this animal with him, right? So the animal's not going nowhere, but he's using the means. He's going to put it around this, you know, attach it around the tree just so that he can, you know, use the means. Just like this man who went to him. Ya Rasulullah, I have my camel. You know, I have my camel. Shall I just leave my camel and make tawakkul, or what should I do? The Prophet says, tie your camel. You know, use it before you do. Tying the camel. This is the Prophet is tying that camel. He's tying the buraq. Don't make tawakkul. Just like, you know, you have a car and you go into the masjid. My sister Fatima, is Brother Karim there? You know, so you're driving your beautiful car and then you go to the masjid. Let's say you go to Isna, right? And then you say, all right, we're at the masjid, Isna, mashallah, Isna Mosque. I'm gonna leave my phone on my iPad and and some money as well. I'm gonna put everything on the dashboard, right? And then I'm gonna leave my door open. I'm not going to lock the door. I'm gonna leave it open. Where am I going? I'm going to the masjid right there, right? So you park your car. You park your car, right? You park your car in the parking lot, right? And then you leave your car open, you don't lock it, right? And then you go pray Qiyam al-Layl. You go pray Jum'ah. You go pray whatever you want to pray and make lots of dua, right? And then you're going to come back. What's going to happen to that? What's going to happen to that money? What's going to happen to your phone? What's going to happen to your iPad or whatever you have left, you know, on the dashboard of your car because you left your car open? What's going to happen? Sister Fatima, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm waiting. Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, what's going to happen? Will it be gone? Will it be gone? Are you gonna find your phone and all your money in there because you just said, I just went to the masjid. I was praying. I went to the mosque. No, of course not, right? You use the means. You use the means. You know, you're lucky to find your car once you're back. You're lucky to find your car. So your wallet was found and money was gone. There you go. Because he does not need the wallet. The wallet, he's got the wallet. He wants the money. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So that's the thing. You know, that's what I'm saying. So this is what we do. You know, we call it al-akhd bil-asbab. We call it using the means. Use the means. But then put your trust in the Lord of the means. Right? So Prophet Muhammad, he took that leech and tied it around a tree and then he went inside. What did he find inside? He found all the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the prophets to him out there. When they saw Prophet Muhammad, they asked him to lead the salah. And he prayed. And he led the salah. Brothers and sisters, when somebody comes to your home, and it is your, you know, it is, let's say, salah time, who normally leads the salah? Huh? Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, who normally leads the salah? When somebody comes to your home, let's say your home, right? Like a friend or a cousin or family member or whatever, right? And then it's, let's say, salah time. It's salah time. Exactly, Ibrahim. Yashmin, the head of the house, right? The head of the house is the one who normally leads the salah, unless there is, let's say, an imam of respect or a hafid or someone, and then you ask him to lead the salah. Other than that, the sunnah is the head of the house should lead the prayer. So Prophet Muhammad, sisters and brothers, he went to, he entered the Masjid al-Quds and he led the salah. He led the salah. So does al-Quds belong only to the Palestinians? This is why I asked initially that question. Why did he have to make that stop in al-Quds, in Palestine, before going up into the heavens to talk to Allah Azza wa Jal? You know, he had to make a stop. So he met all these prophets and he led them in prayers. What does that mean? When he led them into prayers, it was the prophet who led the salah. Adam was there. Isa was there. Musa was there. Ibrahim, the father of the prophets, was there. But Prophet Muhammad is the one who led the salah. The head of the house. He is responsible about the house. He is responsible about that masjid. So the masjid does not necessarily belong to the Palestinians. It belongs to the Muslims. We are all responsible about the masjid. We are all responsible about the Quds. It is an Islamic matter. It is not a Palestinian affair. It is a Muslim affair. Because sometimes you may see some Muslim from some country saying, well, that's the Arab affairs. It's not us. We don't care. I'm from South Asia, from Pakistan or India or this or that. Or, I don't know, from Morocco. That's Palestine. No, ya Habibi. Yeah, this is your mission as well. Al-Quds, it is not for the Palestinians. Al-Quds is for the Muslims. For all the Muslims. It is a Muslim affair. So whatever happens there, it happens to you too. Whatever goes on there, it goes on to you too. It is your family who's there. It is our family who's there in Al-Quds. So the Prophet, he led the Salah, sending a message. This is an Islamic matter, an affair, na'am. So after he finished the Salah, Jibreel came to him, alayhi salam, and he brought him a couple cups with drinks. One cup that had milk in it, and one cup that had wine in it. Wine at the time was not prohibited. Still was not prohibited. Even in Mecca, it was not prohibited. So wine was still, subhanAllah, permitted at the time. So he brought him two cups, one with milk and one of wine. And then he gave to the Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, he chose that of the milk. He chose that of the milk. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel made dua for him. Ikhtar al-Laban. Hudit al-Fitrah. You've been guided to the Fitrah. And what is the Fitrah? The Fitrah is the milk. That natural inclination. Why not the al-khamr? Why not the wine? You know, milk is pure. The symbol of purity. Allahu Akbar. The symbol of purity is milk. The Prophet chose milk versus al-khamr, which is something that, you know, that is taken from grapes, right? Something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has brought, you know, grapes. And then they changed it to make it khamr, to make it alcohol, to make it wine. Changing, subhanAllah, the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah gave us grapes. They took grapes. They change it into khamr. So whereas milk is the symbol of purity. And that what happens when people start changing things, subhanAllah, from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. What do you think of these extreme makeup? Okay, let me talk about something maybe a little, as they say in England, dodgy. Right? As they say in the UK, dodgy. Something visually here. Yeah, what do you think about this extreme makeup? Na'am. When if you have a, you know, like a long nose or some ib, like long ears, now there's some, you know, nowadays there are these surgeries that can, you know, fix something that is ib, you know, on a person. Yeah, Allah Azza wa Jalla make, you know the ears supposed to be like this, right? But if they're like, huh? Yes, you can make it as the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Na'am, if there's aib, if there is a default, then you can fix it with these ilm, with this the knowledge, with the science of today, with these, you know, surgeries. But, you know, people making, you know, getting this thing bad, everything becomes bad, everything bad. You know, I don't need to show you anything. You know what I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about, sisters and brothers, right? Had a big. And the tongue is big too. Leave the tongue. Why are you making everything big? Changing the creation of Allah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he chose milk. He did not choose wine. And then they went up into the heavens. As-sama' al-awla, they reached the first heaven. And then Jibreel knocked at the gates. And then the angel said, who? Jibreel said, Jibreel and Prophet Muhammad. The angels, they said, Abu'ith? Has he been, you know, is he a prophet? Abu'ith? Has he received the prophecy? Even the angels, they don't know the ghaib. They don't know the unseen. They don't know the unseen. He reached the heavens. And all this in a matter of, you know, few hours. From Mecca to Al-Quds, from Al-Quds to the heavens. In a matter of, you know, a few hours. And then they opened up the gates of the heavens. Prophet Muhammad went into the first heaven, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. In the first heaven, he met Adam alayhi salam. In the second heaven, he met Isa and Yahya. Isa and Yahya, they were cousins in second heaven. On the third heaven, he met Yusuf alayhi salam. In the third heaven, he met Yusuf, Joseph alayhi salam. In the fourth heaven, he met Idris alayhi salam. Idris. In the fifth heaven, he met Harun, the brother of Musa alayhi salam. In the sixth heaven, he met Musa. And on the seventh heaven, he met Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he saw Adam alayhi salam, like an old man, he looks to his right and he smiles, and he looks to his left and he cries. So Prophet Muhammad asked Jibreel, Jibreel, who is that? He says, that's our father Adam. When he looks at his right, he looks at the people that will enter Jannah from his progeny. Everything comes from Adam. He looks at the people who will enter Jannah and he smiles. And then when he looks at his left, he sees the people who will enter hellfire and he cries. Alayhi salam. So he went and he said salam to him. He went to Adam and he said salam to him. Alayhi salatu salam. And then he kept going up into the heavens, you know, one after another, until the seventh heaven, where he met Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was reclining on the door of the Kaaba. What Kaaba? There is a Kaaba in the heavens. It's called Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur. Just like we have Kaaba in Mecca, right? There is a Kaaba right above the Kaaba in Mecca, right above the center. Above it, in the heavens, there is another Kaaba in the seventh heaven. There is a Kaaba right there called Al-Baytul Ma'mur. Who makes tawaf there? The angels. The angels make tawaf there. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says every day 70,000 angels, they go around making tawaf in that Kaaba. Every day. 70,000 angels, if they were to come today, tomorrow, another 70,000 angels will come and make tawaf. The third day, another 70,000 will come and make tawaf. From the day Allah created this until the end of time, every day, 70,000 angels new coming and making tawaf. Every day, new 70,000 angels making tawaf. He saw Prophet Ibrahim. He is reclining on the door of that Kaaba there, Bayt al-Ma'mur, taking rest because he was tired. He's resting now. He is resting. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he went to say salam to Prophet Ibrahim. And Prophet Ibrahim told him, أقرئ أمتك مني السلام. Convey my salam to your nation, O Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. Listen to this. When he went to say salam to Ibrahim, Ibrahim told Prophet Muhammad, convey my salam to your people, to your nation, and tell them that Jannah, heaven, you know, أَرْضُهَا خَصْبَةً, its earth is very fertile. The earth, the soil of heaven is very fertile. And to plant trees, وَغَرْصُهَا, or to plant trees, is by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allah. Brothers and sisters, what are you waiting for? Decorate your house in Jannah. You know, when we have a new home, we like to decorate our homes. We like to decorate our homes here and there. why don't you and I decorate our, inshallah, home in Jannah by planting trees in there? Just by saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Go ahead. Go ahead, sisters and brothers. Go ahead. Yalla. Yalla, Sheikha. Yalla, Saira. Yalla, Journey. Yalla, Yasmin. Yalla. Go ahead. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Right there, you have four trees. And you say another Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Another four trees. The more Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, you say, the more trees are planted for you in Jannah. Yeah. Busy yourself. Busy yourself with planting trees versus backbiting and backstabbing and saying this and that and he said and she said. Instead, plant trees in Jannah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started seeing things happening there. He's seeing things happening. He saw hell and he saw heaven. He saw certain things that were happening in hell and he saw certain things happening in heaven. What did he see? What happened? Who is that man who is swimming in a pool of blood? Who is that other man whose head being crushed by a rock? Who's that other man who's leaving the food, good food that he has, and eating rotten, dirty food? Who's that man who's walking on his side? Who's that other man whose jaws are being cut wide open, slit all the way to his ears? Who are these people? What did they do for them to go or endure this type of punishment? Is this punishment in hell now? Or is it some other type of punishment? What did the Prophet see in heaven instead? Who did he smell? What fragrance did he smell in heaven? Who was it? Who was that lady? Who's that woman? Who's that voice he heard reading Quran? He heard somebody reading Quran. Whose voice was it? He saw things before he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he see? What did he hear? And what is he going to ask of Allah? We will talk about this inshallah ta'ala. When, sisters and brothers? Tomorrow. Of course tomorrow. Because this is my usual cliffhanger. The cliffy hangy, right? This is a cliffy hangy. So, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow, bi-idhnillah, we will resume our series, you know, the trip to, or the trip to the heavens, the Isra, the journey to the heavens, the journey to the Isra wal-Mi'raj, and what would the Prophet do, and the reason why he had to go and talk to Allah, and would he see Allah Azza wa Jal physically? Would he see Allah Azza wa Jal? Would he see him? Some people believe that Prophet Muhammad saw Allah Azza wa Jal. Did he really? We will talk about that as well tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining. Those of you on Facebook, thank you. Facebook out there, thank you so much for joining. Those of you on Instagram, Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. I shall see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum, Facebook. Assalamu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum, Instagram. We'll see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Alrighty? See you tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum.